I get the privilege and honor today to talk about his sacrifice. And that's the title of this message, it's his sacrifice. And as you guys know, Bishop just said, today is Palm Sunday, also known as Passion Sunday, and it marks the beginning of Holy Week, right? So this is a time that we, time for us to just focus in and reflect on the final days of Jesus' life. And, you know, one thing, last night my wife asked me, she said, you know, let's watch The Passion. And that's one movie that I think yesterday was my second time watching it. After the first time, you know, it angered me. And it just everything that you see in that movie just angers me. And there's one, I don't know the actor's name, but there's one Roman soldier in there. He must have done a fantastic job because he just gets under my skin. And I just look at him laughing and whipping Jesus and everything, and it just gets under my skin like I want to crawl through the TV. And, you know, so that's the testament to the actor because he did a very good job. But that's reflecting on, you know, we can get caught up in our daily lives and everything, but that was a way of reflecting on everything that Jesus went through for us. So today, I'm going to try and do that for us, and I'll be reading out of John 19, verses 28 through 37. If you want to turn there, go for it, and you can follow along with me. All right, John 19, 28 through 37. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was preparation day, the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. And the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these signs were done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Father God, I just come before you, Lord, to give you thanks, my God. I thank you, God, for all that you're doing, my God. I thank you for your sacrifice, my God. And so, Father, right now I ask that I step aside, my God, just to allow you full control, my God. Let me not get in the way, my God, of this message, my God. So I just thank you, my God, for all that you're doing, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And before I move on any further, you know, I want to thank Bishop for this opportunity. As Bishop said, you know, I'm a son of this house, and I was saved in this house. And, you know, once, you know, when I came here, at the time I was hopping around trying to find a home. But the very first moment I was here, I sat down, it was in the powerhouse, and I heard Bishop preach. And he spoke directly to me. He spoke to my heart. And I heard it as clear as day that this your home. And I've been here ever since. And so I just thank you, Bishop. I thank all the pastors for pouring into me. This is a product of everything that they've poured into me. So when I think of his sacrifice, I had to ask the question, what does that mean to me? What does it mean to you? And so as I began to prepare, I said, let's start with the word sacrifice. And so I looked up the word sacrifice, and this is what it says. A sacrifice is something important or precious that is given up for the sake of gaining something or allowing something to happen that's considered more important. Amen. So focus in on that. You know, through our lives, we've all made sacrifices, whether they're big or small. We've all made sacrifices, right? If anybody knows me, they know I don't like driving. You talk about a road trip, and a road trip for me is Stockton, Sacramento. That's a road trip for me, and I'm dreading the moment that I have to go there or whatever. So, but on the rare occasions that I do go over the Altamont, and I say rare because I try and avoid it with everything possible, but I look over and I see all that traffic, and I just ask myself, I'm just thinking, how do they do it day in and day out? How, it just, to me, it just my skin crawls. I'm just like, ugh, I don't know how you can do it. And, but then as I was preparing this, I was like, that is a sacrifice. People do that for various reasons. You know, they go over that Altamont every day and deal with 2 and 3 hour traffic coming home. Some have different reasons. Some reasons might be for their family. You know, I'm gonna make the sacrifice and go work in the Bay Area and then come home through this traffic because I want to provide for my family. Others do it, you know, maybe to put their kids through college, you know. And so they sit in that traffic for 2 and 3 hours because there's something more important. There's something, they're doing it for something more important. They're not just doing it for themselves. They got somebody else in mind. They got something else in focus that it's worth my time to sit here in this traffic because there's something more important. So I think of a story. I was at work one time, and I was talking to one of the associates there. And, you know, when I'm at work, I like to get to know the associates just to get to know, just to know more about them. I don't want it to be just about work, our relationship be about work. So on this occasion, I remember this young lady was driving a forklift. And I went up to her, and I just started talking with her. And then we got on the subject of, you know, I asked her, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life? Do you have other goals, ambitions, or anything like that? And she proceeded to tell me that she's gone to college, had a 4-year degree, had her bachelor's in a field. And then I'm like, you've already graduated college? You have your bachelor's degree? Why are you here driving a forklift? And she said, I just decided after, you know, after putting all those hours in, I decided it wasn't for me. That wasn't the part that really bothered me, because there's plenty of people that change their mind. They go through college and change their mind. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is the part that bothered me. I said, but you spend all that money to go to college, you spend all that money and all that time and effort, and you're not even using your degree. And this is what got me. She said, oh, it doesn't matter. It didn't cost me anything. I said, what do you mean? Oh, my parents paid for it. So at that moment, I don't know if her parents were well off or nothing, but that's beside the case. But at that moment, she didn't appreciate the sacrifices that her parents made to put her through college. You know, that I'm sure there must have been a sacrifice. They might have sat in that Altamont traffic or whatever, trying to put her to college. And she just simply, it wasn't my money. It didn't cost me nothing. And so that was something that I looked at. She didn't appreciate the sacrifice that her parents made to put her through college. So, give me 1 second here. I hope this is for me. All right, so as Christians, we know that Christ died for our sins. Amen? And, you know, we come to church on Sundays. We go through Bible college and everything. And we hear that Christ died for our sins. We see pictures of Jesus on the cross, right? We learn that he's died for our sins. Jesus is on the cross. The problem with these pictures is it depicts a G-rated version of the crucifixion. Even this last one over here, it's still a G-rated version of the crucifixion. And in order for us to fully understand and appreciate everything that he's done for each one of us, we must understand what he went through for each one of us. God forbid we be like that young lady and just chalk it up to Christ died for us. You know, and we can do that through the way we live, through how we're living. Are we living our life in a way that we represent that Christ went through all this for us? Is your walk representing that I am so appreciative of everything that Christ done for us? Is your prayer life representing everything that God went through for you and I? We can't just chalk it up to Christ died for us. And we might not be as simple as shrugging our shoulders, but it's our walk. It's the same thing. It's our prayer life. It's our daily habits. It's everything. It might not be as bold as shrugging your shoulders, but we got to mind our walk. Amen? So today, we're going to go through his sacrifice. And so I'll start with this. Jesus was an innocent man. Jesus was an innocent man that was taunted. They blindfolded him. They struck him on the face. He endured a lot of shame, a lot of pain at the hands of the soldiers, right? It wasn't, you know, these pictures right here, that's not what he looked like on the cross. So he endured a lot, you know, at the hands of the soldiers. And then if that wasn't enough, the scourging begins. Jesus is stripped of his clothing. He's tied to a post. And then the head legionnaire would take a flagrum or a cat of nine tails. It's this leather whip that has small leather beads in it. It has fragments of bone, glass in it. And they use this whip to strike Jesus on the back. And with every blow of them striking him on the back, it's ripping his skin. It's not just lashes on the back. Because of the beads and because of the glass, the fragments of bone, when they struck him on the back, it is ripping his skin. It's ripping his flesh. So as they continued to do this, you know, it wasn't just the back and shoulders that was getting hit. They would come around, and when they would swing it, it would wrap around the front. And then as they pulled back again, it just rips the flesh. And they just continued to go through it and go through it. And this is the part I was talking about earlier. As I was watching, you know, the Passion, they did a great job of depicting what Jesus went through. And even then, that still is not enough. And so, like I said, that one soldier, as he's whipping that whip, and it's just ripping, he just has this grin on his face and his laugh. And I just look at everybody that was watching, you know, that everything that he was going through, they just stood by and watched. But with every blow, it's just like Jesus is stepping in front of each one of us and saying, I'm going to take this for you. I'm taking this for you. You know, with every strike, you know, those were meant for us. But Jesus steps in the way and says, not my children. Jesus steps in the way and says, I'm going to take this punishment for them. Jesus steps in the way, says, not them. I will take it all upon me. And so they continued to beat him and continued to whip him. And like I said, it was just ripping apart his flesh, ripping apart his skin. He's just bleeding all over the place. Now, finally, when he was near death, the beating stops. Jesus is untied, and now he falls to the ground. They throw a robe on him. They weave a crown of thorns and press it into his head. And these are not no little thorns. These are nice-sized thorns. They press it into his head. And then they continue to mock him. They continue to strike him on the face. There was a scene last night where I seen they hit him over the head on the crown of thorns. And I just, my wife, she was like, I got to turn at this part. She probably saw 2 minutes of the movie because she kept turning. but it's that bad. It's just, they just continued to beat him. Most artists don't even come close to depicting what Jesus looked like after this vicious torture. The prophet Isaiah writes in 52:14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This speaks of the cruel and vicious beating that Jesus endured at the hands of the enemies. Jesus was beaten so badly on his face that he hardly looked like a man. The result was so shocking that many were astonished when they saw Jesus. So now, after dealing with all that, after going through all that, now the journey to Golgotha begins. Jesus starts out carrying this heavy cross over his ripped and tattered shoulders and back. And then you have to put the heavy cross. All of us, we've had cuts before, and we try and keep everything off those cuts. But his back is ripped to shreds, and now he's got to walk with this heavy cross across his back. And as he walked through the crowded streets, they still continued to mock him. They still continued to jeer at him. Others shrieked back in horror, just of the, like I said, of what he looked like. You know, and because of all this, you know, I'm sure he was weak at that time because, you know, with all the blood loss and everything, I've you know, in studying this, I was reading, you know, and I can't think of all the medical terminology they use, but they were just saying he had to have been so weak at this time, you know, and because of that, he stumbles and falls frequently. Then one of the centurions, anxious to get on with the crucifixions, as we know, selected Simon to carry the cross the rest of the way. Then after the 650-yard journey to Golgotha, the crucifixion begins. So now listen, prior to nailing Jesus on the cross, he was offered wine mixed with myrrh. And at that time, that was a pain-numbing drink they would give to those being crucified, but Jesus declined the drink. Jesus refused any drug to numb his pain. He chose to face the agony of the cross with a clear mind and without medication. Now Jesus is thrown on the cross. And I want you to picture this. You know, we all know he's nailed to the cross, but it wasn't the nails that we use to build our fence. He's nailed to the cross with heavy, square, wrought iron nails driven through his hands into the wood. And then, after that, his feet are nailed to the cross, and now the death by crucifixion begins. As Jesus is hanging there in excruciating pain, and as we know, he has these big nails through him, all the weight of him is hanging on the nails, and it's causing, when that's happening, it's hard to breathe because of all the strain on the chest muscles and everything. So Jesus is hanging there, and to get a breath, you have to push up on your feet with the nails through your feet. So he has to push up on his feet just to catch a breath, right? To get a breath of fresh air, transferring the pain from his hands now down to his feet. It's undoubtedly that during these periods of breathing that Jesus was able to utter the last seven sayings, the last seven short sentences, which is recorded in the Gospels. So, as we know that, you know, Jesus, he's just been beaten. He's just been mocked, spit on. Everything's happening to an innocent man. And hanging there in excruciating pain, Jesus looks down at them, casting lots, and people yelling and screaming at him. And Jesus' first saying is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is looking down at the very people that mocked him, beat him, and nailed him to the cross, and he utters those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is an example to us all. Are we holding grudges? Are we forgiving those that hurt us? Are we forgiving those that mock us? Are we forgiving those that hurt us? You know, there's times that, you know, whatever the case, somebody hurts you and you just stop talking to that person forever. You're holding that grudge on them forever. You don't know what they did to me. I can't get past this. But Jesus, right there in the moment of him being nailed to the cross, blood still dripping down his face, down his body, he's still saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So far be it for us to hold grudges. This time is too short for us to be holding grudges. We need to be able to forgive people. We need to be able to move on and move past the hurt. If Jesus did it, why can't we? The second statement, he says to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now this is, when I was studying this is what I found interesting. You know, Jesus, you know, like I said last night when I was watching the movie, he's standing there, people yelling at him, "You did this, you did this," and people screaming at him. He's walking through the crowds, yelling at him more and more and more, just screaming at him. But this was interesting. As the crowd insulted and mocked and spat on Jesus, he never replied. Jesus never said, "It wasn't me. You got the wrong person. It's not me." Jesus never replied. He just took it all. Say what you got to say. Do what you have to do. Spit on him. Didn't wipe his face or nothing. Just do what you have to do. But listen to this. When the remorseful thief humbly sought mercy, Jesus instantly responded with compassion and assurance. This is God's mind. This is God's love. God stands ready to respond to the repentant. God stands at the ready to respond to the repentant. You just got to call on his name. You just got to call on Jesus. You just like Z was saying, you just got to talk to him. You just got to speak to him. Jesus is ready to respond to the repentant. Then his third saying, he says, "Woman, behold your son." and behold your mother. Jesus, suffering intensely, was thinking of the needs of his mother, who loved him, making sure she would be cared for by John. Jesus was, again, hanging on the cross. Everything that he's gone through, he's not thinking of himself. Jesus was thinking of his mother. Jesus was thinking of his brother. He wants to make sure they're going to be cared for, just like Jesus is thinking of you. Every time, everything that Jesus did on the cross, he had you in mind. He had you in focus. Jesus was on the cross because of you and I. That's his purpose, was for you and I. His foreseeing. I've been practicing this. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Listen, forsake means to abandon or leave helpless. Being forsaken is horrific in itself. But being forsaken by God would be the worst. Jesus knew his Father didn't forsake him, but he did leave him helpless momentarily. You see, Jesus took on all the sins of humanity. And God would not intervene to ease anything associated with the penalty of sin. Sin causes suffering, and Christ bore its full weight, including the emotional trauma of comprehending how sin distances us from God. Jesus previously declared in John 8:29 that God had not left him alone. He never experienced the aloneness that comes from being cut off from God. But now, bearing all the sins of the world, he would. Let's ask the questions of ourselves. Has our Father ever asked us, my child, why have you forsaken me? We have all abandoned God through our sinfulness. Isn't it time to stop? Isn't it time to let our walk reflect everything that God has done for us? Isn't it our time to keep that in focus, to deny self, to deny our selfish pleasures, to deny self, just to walk this godly walk, to walk a life that represents Christ? It's that time. And number five, he says, I thirst. If we recall, Jesus refused the pain-numbing drink at the beginning of this ordeal. He has now accepted this diluted wine to wet parched lips, a dry throat, to make one final announcement to the world. We can connect all things. We can connect all things we now were accomplished with the words, I thirst. When Jesus said, I thirst, the worst was over. The price had been paid, and he was ready to announce it. Church, when the sinner says, I thirst, the worst is over. Because if they bring their thirsty soul to Jesus, he will satisfy. If they just come to Jesus, he will satisfy. If we lay it at the feet of Jesus, he will satisfy. If we bring it to the altar, he will satisfy. Jesus is there to satisfy. Jesus wants to satisfy you. His word said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's his word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is ready to fill us. Amen? Now, a single word can change everything. Just a single word can change everything. A judge handing down the verdict of guilty can change a person's life. Vice versa, a judge saying not guilty can change somebody's life, right? Just right here, A woman saying yes to a marriage proposal can change somebody's life. Amen? Pastor Eric, it's about to change. All right? On the playing field, rounding third, coming into home, safe, can change the outcome of the game. Right? Or out can change the outcome of the game. And my favorite is this one. A catch can change the outcome of a game. It was a catch, Bishop. So, but just the umpire saying fair, safe, saying yes to a marriage proposal will change the will change everything. Yet, with all that being said, yet there's never been a single word that has impacted the history than what Jesus said in John 19:30 with his sixth saying, "It's finished. It's finished." That day, at least 25 messianic prophecies were fulfilled, witnessing to the inspiration of God's word. At the age of 12, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." And now the work committed to him was finished. When he cried out, "It's finished," a spiritual transaction took place. God the Father laid upon God the Son all the guilt, all the wrath of sin deserved, and he bore it in himself perfectly, totally satisfying the wrath of God for us all. And then with his seventh saying, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The forsaken feeling he had experienced shortly before no longer remained. He knew God would answer his expectation. Grasping his last breath, Jesus uttered his last words, words of complete faith. And of course, we all know how the story ends. On the third day, God brought him back to life. Can we likewise put our lives in God's hands? Not only when we die, like Christ, in every day that we live. That's what we have to do. We got to deny self and put it in his hands. We got to lay it all at his feet, give it all over to God. God does not need no co-pilot. He can do it just fine by himself. We just got to give it over to him. We got to quit holding on to him. We got to quit having one hand on the wheel. We got to let go and just give it all over to God. Amen? Now, why have I gone into such detail over this? Because we need to know what Christ went through for each one of us. He did this with you and I in mind. He did it because he loves us unconditionally. Jesus loves us unconditionally. If we miss out on the enormity of his work on the cross, then we'll never fully realize how much we need him. Jesus is not just a nice addition to our lives. Jesus is not just a nice self-help program. Jesus did it all. Jesus did everything for you and I. He had, through the whole beginning, his whole purpose was you and I. He had us in mind. Jesus Christ died as an act of love for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is settled at the cross. No matter what we are going through in life, we can look at the cross and be reminded of God's love. And just always remember that he did it for everything that God endured, everything that Jesus endured. He did it with us in mind. He did it from the moment from the very moment he did it with you in mind, with every whip of the flagrum, he had you in mind. He was shielding us from the wrath. Everything he did it with you in mind. So at this time, we're going to demonstrate God's love for us. Show that he is holy. You got it?
No! yes, yes. Wow.
Holy. Come on. Everyone stand to your feet, would you? Hallelujah. He's holy. Hallelujah. He's holy. Thank you for your sacrifice, God. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you, God, that you had me on your mind when you were hanging on that cross. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to say to the saints here today, the next time you feel discouraged and the next time you feel like you want to give up, you remember his sacrifice. The next time you feel like, I can't do this anymore, remember his sacrifice that he made for you. And if here this morning and maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe your walk isn't where it should be, and you want to give your life to Christ and rededicate your life to Christ, we want to pray with you. Maybe watching online, if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, all you got to do is invite him into your heart on this Palm Sunday. Invite him into your heart. Surrender your life. All of the work was done, was paid. The price was paid at Calvary. He hung on the cross for me, and he hung on the cross for you. Surrender your life to Christ. Surrender your life to Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, could you pray for me? I want to make my life right with God. Anybody here at all? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Anybody need Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. God bless you. You can make your way up. Anybody else here need Jesus? If you're walking with God, but you just really feel like you need God to do something new or fresh in your life, the altars are open. Come. Paragon is here. They're going to, prayer team is here. They're going to minister to you. God bless you. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need to just pray, we still got time here. Come on, make your way forward. Hallelujah. You need God to do something in your life. Make your way up, church. God is here this morning. Hallelujah. God is here this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Make your way up. I allow the Lord to minister to you today at this altar. Hallelujah. I want to lead you to the Lord. And anybody who's watching us online right now, if you would just repeat this prayer after me and just say, Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Today, I confess my sin to you. And I surrender my life. I confess that you are Lord and there is no other. I confess that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead for me. And I believe this in my heart. So today, I believe that I am now saved. I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer here today, Pastor Chris is with you. He's going to minister to you. And if you said this prayer online, just let somebody know. I just said this prayer. We want to know that God loves you so much. And God died for you. We want to know that on this Palm Sunday, your life will never again be the same. Never again be the same. Jesus is with you. God is with you. And to the whole family of God, to the body of Christ, God is with you. He paid such an incredible sacrifice for me and for you. How many love him today with all of your heart? Just love God. I just love him. I love him. And I thank God. I thank God for everything he's done. And Father God, we just worship you. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that message. Thank you for Paragon. Thank you for the ministry, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Mark and Pastor Monica, God, for the work they're doing in this church. We just give you honor and praise, Lord God. You are so good. You are so faithful. And today our hearts are full. Our hearts are full, God, because of everything you poured into us this morning. We give you honor and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Before we let you go, I want to say one last time, if you weren't here earlier, I want you to hear this. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, or Saturday night, sorry, next Saturday night, we have the Easter production. He is. It's been over a year since we've done a production in this church. It's going to be powerful. Bring somebody. Come, bring somebody. Next Saturday night at 6 or Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, Sunday morning at 8:30, 10:30, or 12:30 right here. And then, by the way, folks, that Wednesday following Easter Sunday, a week from this Wednesday, we are back on campus here with all of our ministries. It's going to be a great, great night. Come on out on Wednesday night, a week from Sunday. Married couples are meeting, youth are meeting, young adults are meeting, New Life Recovery. All of our ministries are going to be on campus a week from Wednesday. We're so excited. So I hope you come on out and pick a ministry. If you haven't been part of a ministry, what a great time to join a ministry. That's a week from this Wednesday. Amen. We love you so much. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Through some things.